Hello, and welcome back to 21st Century History, where modern-day school students share their understanding of the past. Today's episode is about the conclusion of the Cold War. My name is Amy, and I'm here to walk you through the end of the Cold War. So, almost all sources that you read will most likely tell you the same thing about the Cold War. 50 years of tension between America and the Soviet Union, from 1945 to 1991. And what caused this tension? Well, almost every source that you read will reaffirm that it was the ideological incompatibility of Western capitalism and Eastern communism. The full reasons, however, are far more complex. The Cold War didn't mirror the heated fighting of the First and Second World Wars. The two superpowers, America and Russia, didn't engage in combat in either of their countries. Instead, they were involved in proxy wars throughout other countries, such as Afghanistan and Korea. As a Gen Z school student, I'd best describe the tensions of the Cold War as an example of petty schoolyard behaviour. Each side played on the insecurities of the other, held a pack mentality with their alliances, and tried to flaunt that their toys were bigger and better. And by toys, I mean weapons and armies. Today, we'll be exploring the reasons for why this tension ended, and answering the question of, to what extent were Soviet policies under Gorbachev responsible for the end of the Cold War? For those of you who are just joining us, Mikhail Gorbachev was the last leader of the USSR, who ruled until the end of the Cold War before announcing that, "Comrades, due to the situation that has evolved, I hereby discontinue my activities at the post of President of the USSR." The collapse of the USSR is what is perceived to have been the definitive end of the Cold War, and the collapse of the USSR is often attributed to the policies that were developed by Mikhail Gorbachev. Here on 21st Century History, we don't think it's that simple. We believe that there were three main reasons that the USSR dissolved, and they are the declining state of the USSR following the rule of Leonid Brezhnev, the new liberal ideas of Mikhail Gorbachev, and Gorbachev's policies of perestroika and glasnost. Gorbachev was indeed a fundamental player, and we'll explore his involvement later in the podcast. But first, I believe the most important thing for us to discuss is the context of the state that Gorbachev inherited. The Soviet Union was not in a stable condition. The three changes of leadership throughout the early 1980s had created inconsistencies in party ideology and had exemplified clashes in leadership style that fueled the inefficiency of the Soviet government. Communism was flowing throughout the USSR, suppression of freedom was executed on a universal basis, and political processes were completely run by the government, so the opposition was not tolerated. Economically, the country that Gorbachev inherited was floundering. Stephen Morwood states in his report, titled Gorbachev and the Collapse of the Soviet Union, that, quote, "The rate of economic growth had fallen to zero. Corruption was endemic with the black economy growing. Worker productivity was falling. The neglected services sector contributed to shortage of consumer goods and falling living standards. The social infrastructure was decaying, and technological backwardness widened the performance gap with the West," unquote, reinforcing the rapid decline of the USSR. The comparison of the state of the USSR against the advances of capitalism in the West being led by America fueled the ambitions of Mikhail Gorbachev to enact reforms in order to restore the Soviet states back to the communism that Lenin had initially envisioned. The American CIA summarized the Soviet situation perfectly in their 1988 report titled Soviet Policy Toward Eastern Europe Under Gorbachev. In it, they recount that, quote, "serious internal economic and political dilemmas ushered in an era of considerable uncertainty and potentially of significant change in the Eastern Europe," unquote. This brings us to our next reason as to why the Cold War ended along with the collapse of the USSR, which is Gorbachev's more progressive attitude. From the get-go, Gorbachev was clearly different from other leaders. At just 54 years old, he was younger than any other leader of the Soviet Union, and his background of hard work in regional Russia along with his university education portrayed him as a man who was holistically involved in the well-being of Russia. His political beliefs were democratic and strongly influenced by Western thought. Stephen Morwood wrote that, quote, "when Gorbachev came to power, change was necessary to save the system," unquote. His background made him human rights focused, charismatic, charming, and likable to many. He understood that to revive Russia, work had to be done both internally and externally, and to foreign leaders, Gorbachev was someone who could be negotiated with. Even British PM Margaret Thatcher, who was hard-lined on anti-communism, stated that Gorbachev was, quote, "a man whom we can do business," unquote. Furthermore, another element of Gorbachev's leadership that made him stand out was the loosening of restrictions on the communist satellite states. In 1988, at the United Nations General Assembly, he made the announcements of the breakaway from the Brezhnev Doctrine, which stated that a communist state could not renounce communism. This meant Soviet states could elect non-communist governments without intervention from the USSR. Renouncement of USSR control was first seen in Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. Then one by one, the satellite states broke away. In retrospect, throughout his leadership, Gorbachev reaffirms that his actions were not made in order to democratize Russia, but instead to return Russia to the glory that Lenin had envisioned in the birth of communism, and he viewed that the collapse of the USSR as one of his greatest disappointments. This brings us to our conclusive reason for the collapse of the USSR. The conditions in the Soviet Union, in combination with Gorbachev's personality, inspired the creation of perestroika and glasnost, which were significant economic and social reforms introduced by Gorbachev. They are argued to have led to the fall of the USSR and the conclusion of the Cold War. So perestroika was a policy of restructuring. Democratic-style elections were introduced to Russia and a semi-free market was created. The Russia that Gorbachev envisioned looked like that of Western democratic capitalist nations such as the US. The downfall of perestroika was that it was introduced into an unstable nation that didn't have the time nor the structure to facilitate such fundamental changes. An analysis in the book Reagan, Bush and Gorbachev, Revisiting the End of the Cold War by N.A. Graeber, R.D. Burns and J.M. Syracusa says that perestroika, quote, scarcely touched upon the crucial issues of central planning, private property, free markets, consumer goods or private businesses, unquote. Many historians recount that this policy was underplanned and ill-enacted and only added to the economic stress and civil unrest of the Russian population. On the other hand, we have glasnost, which was the policy of openness. Gorbachev saw the secrecy of the government as a barrier to a flourishing society and initiated a campaign of freedom of speech, information, and expression, creating avenues for the public to express their thoughts about the Soviet government and allowing them to access information on the outside world. Glasnost went against the beliefs of all previous Russian presidents and radically westernized the government control in Russia. The flaw of this policy for Gorbachev was that the avenues it created for media enabled them to critique the government. It gave people the ability to criticize the system and it generated mass movements for the replacement of communist rule, as they had now been exposed to information on the thriving Western states. The CIA, in their report of Gorbachev's Russia, wrote this: Gorbachev's agenda of reform, openness, and experimentation is congruent with US goals of promoting pluralism in Eastern Europe and greater independence from Moscow. This endgame is not what Gorbachev has in mind, of course, but in encouraging change as the key to dynamism and ultimately to greater viability, he has sanctioned diversity and expanded the limits of the thinkable in Eastern Europe. In conclusion, from what we have addressed in this week's episode of 21st Century History, the end of the Cold War, which is believed to have been brought about by the collapse of the Soviet Union, is not solely attributable to the policies of Gorbachev. We have studied the influence of the failing state of Russia, including the economic and political struggles influenced by previous leaders, the unique personality and approaches of Gorbachev's leadership, and the policies that he introduced as well. From what we have covered, it is difficult to confirm whether the USSR would still exist without Gorbachev and his reforms. However, we can articulate that his influence played a major role in closing the ideological differences between the East and the West. Gorbachev's leadership facilitated discussion and negotiation between the US and Russia, and many historians and historical sites emphasize that Gorbachev's policies were fundamental in concluding the war. We'll finish with an extract of the analysis made in Reagan, Bush, and Gorbachev, Revisiting the End of the Cold War, which reads, "The subsequent unraveling of the Soviet Empire was an unintended side effect of Gorbachev's reforms. The termination of the Cold War was not." Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We hope you've learned something new, and we will see you next time.